includes three more verses. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable. Indefatigable. What means indefatigable, please? Indefatigable. He never becomes fatigued or uncomfortable. We have to ask an English speaker. Daniel, what means undefatigable? Not be fatigued. In other words, he doesn't get tired. Yeah, you're sure that this means? Where's another English speaker? Yes, Krishna Chandra also says it's like this. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life. From the inert living beings, Stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy, and the modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Krishna is everywhere present. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental super soul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cause of the heart of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading Supersoul. But actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the Supreme Sachit Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss, being covered by the curtain of the external energy. To the atheists, he appears non-existent. It's interesting, so many descriptions about Lord Krishna, but then to the atheist he appears non-existent because he is covered by the curtain of the external energy. Purport. Let us now please listen very attentively how Srila Prabhupada will explain this verse, which describes the all presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything, and how there are different perceptions as the Super Soul and also as the Supreme Sachit Ananda, but how some people can't see him. Not only is the Supreme Personality of Godhead present as the Super Soul of all living entities, at the same time, he pervades everything in the entire creation. He exists in all circumstances and at all times. He exists in the heart of Lord Brahma and also in the cause of the hearts of the hawks, dogs, trees, plants, and so on. He is present everywhere. He is present not only in the heart of the living entity, but also in material things, even in the atoms, protons and electrons being explored by material scientists. The Lord is present in three features, as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Because he is present everywhere, he is described as Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Vishnu exists beyond Brahma. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Krishna, by his Brahman feature, is all-pervading. Mayata tamidam savam. That Brahman depends upon Krishna. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Without Krishna, there would be no existence of Brahman or Paramatma. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Although he is present as the Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart, he's nonetheless one, either as an individual or as the all-pervading Brahman. The Supreme Cause is Krishna, and devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize him and his presence within the universe and within the atom. They can just realize his presence. This realization is possible only for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it is not possible. And this is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Daivishesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapatyante mayamitam tadantite. The process of surrender in a devotional attitude is accepted by a fortunate living being after wandering through many varieties of life. On many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the Absolute Truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktanam Jnanam Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mang Prapatyante. Prahlad Maharaj's close friends, who were born of Daitya families, thought that realizing the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda pramite kona bhagyavana jeev Guru Krishna prasad bhai bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity in the material condition wanders through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances. But if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahman and Paramatma, without difficulty. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Antayami pratyakatma vyaptakalo hari smrita prakritya tamasa vrithatvad hare aishvayam nadhyayate. The Lord is present as Antayami, super soul in everyone's heart, and is visible in the individual soul covered by a body. Indeed, he is everywhere at every time and every condition, but because he is covered by the curtain of material energy, to an ordinary person there appears to be no God. Namam Vishnu Padaya, please say, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Himate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Prachadine. Shesha Shunyavadi Asyatya Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Radharam Sivasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living being, Stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental super soul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cause of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading super soul, but actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Sachit Ananda. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist, he appears non-existent. As we know, there are always two classes of beings, the suras and asuras. And for the suras, it is perfectly clear that there is Krishna. There is no doubt in their hearts. And for the asuras, it is similarly perfectly clear, beyond all doubt, that there is no Krishna. I would like to tell you a classical meeting between asura and a group of asuras, and you will see very nicely how both of them are convinced in their worldviews, and how the Sura is always making endeavors to convince the atheistic class of men. It's about a monk, a brahmachari, who was traveling from one town to the other, and in the during the evening he took shelter in a village which was all atheists. After he had arrived, the farmers came and confronted him. They saw it's a brahmachari, a believer in Krishna. They asked him, how can you say there's God? Please show us God. The typical arguments, what is not seen cannot exist. Though the brahmachari was very tired, and he said, Please give me a glass of milk first, then we can speak. Then he took the milk, he looked in the milk, and he said, in the milk there is no butter, because I cannot see it. Can you explain to me how there is butter in the milk? Yeah, said the farmers, it is there. But it is in a hidden form there. You can only get the butter if you churn the milk, and then at the churning rod, the butter will manifest and we will see it. No, I don't believe it, said the monk. I can't see it, therefore it's not there. No, said the atheists. It is certainly there. And they argued like this. Finally, after arguing around for half an hour, the monk explained, my Krishna is in the same way present everywhere as the butter is present in the milk. But you can only see and perceive him by a process. Just like you need the churning rod and you need to churn the milk in order to see the butter. In the same way, you need to chant Hare Krishna in order to perceive Krishna. This is a typical confrontation. I'm looking to our two wonderful guests, our devotees from India who have come. This all happened in India, in a little village. Yes. So I want to encourage all of you to follow the logic. The Lord is covered just like the butter is covered within milk. But he is ready to reveal himself if acts of devotional service or bhakti are done. Now bhakti, in order to bring about a realization of Krishna, or at least Bhakta doesn't say he wants to wish to see Krishna, but I think we all want to feel his presence in our lives. Works when you are spiritually healthy. Just like a healthy heartbeat is the guarantee for a health in your body, bhakti also requires a healthy heartbeat in order to bring about that Krishna consciousness or awareness of Krishna's presence in every sphere of our lives. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada says to realize Krishna is not so difficult because, this is his argument, we all have an intimate relationship with Krishna, every one of us, a very close relationship. However, to realize that relationship is only possible for someone who's spiritually healthy, who has a healthy heartbeat. This healthy heartbeat is what we call loliam, an eagerness. The eagerness is the most important point in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna will only reveal himself to a devotee who has this eagerness in his heart. We will talk today a little bit about eagerness, but first I would like to read to you Prabhupada's very nice way of describing eagerness. Yeah, I've taken this from a lecture. This moment, the date is not written down here, so I do not know when he gave it, but you will hear soon the subject matter becoming very clear. Somehow or other, due to your eagerness, you will see Krishna. That is the only qualification. In one poetry, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. This Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, I have taken this Krishna consciousness from the word Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. This is the actual translation in Sanskrit, or Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. Our movement is taken from this phrase, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. So Rupa Goswami advises that Krishna consciousness, if it is possible, please purchase. Don't delay. Purchase immediately. Where is it available? It is a very nice thing. Yes, it is available. You can purchase. And what is the price? price. It is such a nice thing, you have to pay price. Yes, there is a price. What is that? Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. Simply your eagerness, that is price. This price you have to pay. Then you get Krishna. Immediately, Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, the Krishna devotee, he is also not poor. He can distribute Krishna free. And he is doing that. Simply you have to purchase by your eagerness. That is wanted. Oh, eagerness, I have got eagerness. Oh, it is not so easy. This eagerness cannot be achieved even by pious activities for millions of births. If you simply go on doing pious activities, you can, because without being pious, you cannot approach Krishna. So if you go on simply doing simply pious, still this eagerness is not awakened. Now, I think we all have heard this subject several times before during our lectures, that eagerness is necessary in order to enjoy Krishna consciousness. I would like to give you a little example to make this very clear. Imagine you have a glass of water like this before you. The lecturers get glass of water to, so that their throat is fit. You may not get it at this moment. So the glass of water, it has very nice water, but only if you are actually thirsty will you be able to drink the water. I think we all have this experience before us. We have a glass of water, but we just don't feel thirsty and it remains there. In the same way, Krishna consciousness can be compared with this example to something wonderful which we all need. But if we do not have eagerness in our heart, we will just leave it there. We will not really think about Krishna consciousness in a deep way. Now the immediate question for someone in Krishna consciousness is, how can I develop this eagerness which will enable me to appreciate and relish Krishna consciousness at every step? Only by this eagerness we will be ecstatic devotees like Yadunandan Prabhu. Without the eagerness, we will be dull. When we are dull and don't feel this excitement of Krishna consciousness, then even in the temple we will think, oh, everything is so frustrating. I really wish I could be in the material world, in Amsterdam, for instance, or Brussels, or even Liege, the most disgusting city. I mean, at least when you drive through it, maybe when you do a Harinam, you experience it differently, but one feels like this. So this, so this eagerness is almost, you can say, the digestive power to digest Krishna consciousness and receive full nourishment from it. Krishna consciousness can also be compared to a very wonderful feast with very nourishing preparations. But when you have no digestive power and you are constipated, then you just walk by this feast and you say, well, you very mentally maybe take a little preparation, a little sweet, and you eat it half-heartedly, and you just admire the young bhakta who eats the prasadam, who sweats with enthusiasm as he eats and digests it immediately, who screams out Hari Bol while he eats it. And so this eagerness is like the digestive power. Where can you obtain it? I was reading the day before yesterday, Sunday, when I arrived, a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, who said where to get this eagerness. He said, eagerness can be attained in the association of devotees. Now, it's very interesting that there are two ways of associating with devotees. One will give you the result, the other will not give you the result of eagerness. One way of associating with devotees is you just look at the lifestyle of the devotees. Like these many guests who come to Radhadesh, especially when the weather is a little bit more friendly, they come and they look, oh, how exotic, how esoteric. They're even ready to remove their shoes when they enter into the temple room. And they just look in a distant, friendly, observer way. Well, there is a second way of associating with devotees. That is, you watch the devotees, and as you see certain traits in them, certain characteristics, you allow yourself to become inspired and to follow this. Devotee association works at that time when you accept the devotees as, I will now use a very modern way, please don't run away immediately, as role models. As examples in your life which you follow. First you follow a little something which you are capable to follow, and as you are staying more with devotees, you begin to follow more of them, of what they say. And finally, by being with the devotees and being with your examples, you entirely move into the devotional life. Just a few days ago, I heard that Germany's very well-known pop singer, Udo Lindenberg, has become quite interested in Krishna consciousness. I think it is because he once made an offense against devotees in his singing, and now I think the result of the offense is suffered. He sang, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, der Guru ist kein Armer. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, the Guru is not a poor man. It rhymes in German language. I think by now his offense has been eaten away, he has suffered enough. And he's now very interested, because even someone who chants derisively in Helana, is the Sanskrit word, gets some benefit. But he also has to sometimes cope with the offenses which he did. I remember once we were on a TV emission, a TV show called Idols. We were also an idol of the German people. And we were there with Udo Lindenberg. And there was, when I looked around, there was a small Udo Lindenberg. It was a boy who had the same hat, the same coat, the same hairstyle, and even the same facial expression. He looked like a double, and he behaved like him, and he always was before the door of his star, and you know, Udo seemed to know him also, and say, "Oh, small Udo," he said, and so on. And I was wondering about this person very much, and I asked him after some time, "You look so similar. How did this come? How did you dress like this and look like this?" And he said, "I just love Udo Lindenberg, and I don't know, this love begins to transform my whole life. I begin to even look like him. This is highly desired," he said. So I was thinking that this is really how we can also advance. I mean, the same principle. We have to just love a devotee, a pure devotee, and not just look at him from the distance, but begin to follow him and his ways. I know in the beginning of our movement we might have exaggerated a little bit like this. A devotee, for instance, you know, would try to imitate Prabhupada. He would speak, he would gesture like Prabhupada, he would say in an Indian accent, "So," and so on. And it looked sometimes a little artificial. I think, Hrida Chaitanya, you remember this, isn't it? It looked a little artificial. Following doesn't mean to imitate. Imitate is anukaran, but it means anusharan. Anusharan means to follow in the sense of taking shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee. And then, as you are slowly, as you are following, you will also grow into the role of a devotee. You will feel eagerness. On a very high level of spiritual advancement, we all, the devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, try to follow the example of the gopis. This is called Gopi Baba, and because of being sometime, you go into the bhava of the gopis. This is obviously a very exalted state, and if someone prematurely wants to imitate this, this is not advised at all. There have been sahajiya groups where men were dressing themselves up in the dress of women, because they wanted to follow the role model and in this way take their spiritual identity. We are informed that this is totally wrong and ridiculous. Huh? But the idea really is we follow devotees, and what it means, we follow their mood. And I once read a very nice article, a very nice book. It's called From Copper to Gold, from Satsvarup Maharaj. I think it is like this. Satsvarup Maharaj writes about what it means for us to follow the gopis. And he very nicely points out that everything which the gopis do is really meant to selflessly please the Supreme Lord. This is what it means. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I should say like this, that a disciple, Srinath Chakravarti, disciple of Advaita Acharya, once summarized the whole teaching of Mahaprabhu in 5 points. And he said, "Arajyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Brindavanam Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadhu Varagena Vakalpitaha O Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Prema Pumato Maham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tratadaranaparam. These are the 5 essential points of Mahaprabhu's teachings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. The most pleasing form of worship for the Lord is that which was performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. Well, with their bodies, the gopis serve the Lord. With their mind, they constantly think of Krishna. And with their words, they sing songs in glorification of Krishna. This is something we can follow, the liberated devotees. And also following devotees to attain this eagerness means to follow serious sadhakas in this world with great attention. It's very, very important to follow so that you can absorb the qualities. Otherwise, how will you develop the qualities of a devotee? Well, from where will it come? You must begin to follow a devotee. Here's a very nice verse about well, I will go into this. Prabhupada once said, if you become eager like the devotees of Krishna to serve him, you will automatically become enriched with the knowledge which is necessary in your devotional service, and also the detachment. All this happens by becoming eager to follow the instructions of devotees. You can even be, this process works even for very, let us say, low-class people. Prabhupada once said, there is a story in this connection. It is very instructive. Try to hear. One professional reciter was reciting about Bhagavata, and he was describing that Krishna being very highly decorated with all jewels. He sent for tending the cows in the forest. So there was a thief in that meeting. So he thought that, why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He is in the forest with so many valuable jewels. I can go there and catch the child and take all the jewels. He became eager just by being in the association of this Bhagavata reciter. He, one day after the recital, he came to the Bhagavata reciter, and he saw how the other people were giving donations in the box. So the thief, his name was Govardhan, thought, maybe I should also give a donation. This could be the auspicious beginning of the greatest theft I have ever done. So he gave a donation and acquired Agyata Sukriti. And he thought, if this was all an illusion, that there is no Krishna in Vrindavan, then I will go back to the Bhagavatam reciter and steal all the donations from him out of revenge. So he asked the Bhagavatam reciter, can you please give me the correct address? Yes, Bhagavatam reciter said, Vrindavan, near Mathura. Can you please tell me again the name of this child? It was a little long. Syama Sundara. Acha, said the thief, Syama Sundara Vrindavan, Syama Sundara Vrindavan, Syama Sundara Vrindavan. And he began to chant the whole night, Syama Sundara Vrindavan, Syama Sundara Vrindavan, Syama Sundara Vrindavan, Syama Sundara Vrindavan. In the morning his sister asked, you have a tear in your eye? Yes, I don't know, I feel just so emotional because I have chanted the whole night, but don't worry, I will make a theft. I will bring a golden crown back. then he went again to the reciter and said, when is he alone, this Shyamasundara? Around noontime. He will tell his cowherd boyfriends to sleep, and then he will go somewhere to meet someone very special. The Bhagavad reciter did not want to tell him about Radharani. Acha, said Stephen. Does he have any particular eating habits? I mean, does he like some particular preparation? And the Bhagavad reciter said, oh yes, butter with sugar. So then the thief was ready. He got a huge thing of butter. He went to Vrindavan and he sat in the bushes and chanted Shyama Sundara, Shyama Sundara. He was very eager to see Lord Krishna. Finally, at the noontime, the Lord was pleased to give him a darshan. He was just putting his friends to bed. You are very tired now. No, said the friends. We like to play more. So Krishna understood, unless he would rest, they would not rest. So he said, I'm very tired. And he put down his head in the lap of one of the cowherd boys. The other cowherd boys began to sing very nice songs so that Krishna would fall asleep. And then Krishna would fall asleep, pretend to fall asleep. Then one of the cowherd boys sang about the gopis and their love for Krishna. He saw how Krishna in his sleep, how a tear came out of his eyes, tear of love, and ran over his cheek. The cowherd boys were very happy with this, and then they fell asleep. And the moment they lay down, Krishna went up and went. And he went right to Govardhan, the thief. Govardhan jumped out of the bushes. Stop. And Krishna looked at him. He said, then the thief said, who are you? Are you Shyamasundara? Krishna looked at him and said, you must be Govardhan, the thief. You look like a rock because your heart is like a rock, only thinking thieving, stealing. Then Krishna smiled and said, but doesn't matter, I'm also a thief. When I was young, I was stealing butter. Later, I was stealing clothes. And then, now I'm stealing hearts. So we are from the same caste. We have the same tendency. Govardhan said, alright, what if I would theoretically steal your crown? Krishna said, that wouldn't be very good for you. I have 33,000, or was it millions? Million servants, the devata. Was it millions or millions? 33, so many, 33 million servants. They're very powerful and I just need to call them and they are here. I was just asking, said the governor. This in interest. Are you dressed every day like this? Said Krishna. And sometimes I'm dressed better. Today I was a little late and everything had to go very fast. Mother Yashoda had to do very fast and I have many such crowns and so on. But so today was the quick crown had to be fixed. Acha, the Govardhan. Do you think, how do I get the crown from this boy? I'm always stealing here and there, a little 10 rupees, 20 rupees. With one crown, I can solve all my economical pressure at once. He said, well, could I give you some butter and sugar, and then you would give me the crown? Can we trade? Krishna looked at him and said, yes, that is easily possible. So, wow, Govardhan was saved. He got his butter out and he said, here, eat it. Krishna said, no, I'm not so foolish. I know you have put sleeping poison in the butter. Then I will eat it, then I will fall asleep, and you will rob everything from me. Oh, no, said Govardhan, I'm not that cruel. Then, said Krishna, we will test. You have to eat the butter first. So Govardhan was going and trying to eat, and wanted to eat a little portion. He was sure there was nothing in it. But Krishna said, no. You will, of course, take that portion in which there is no sleeping poison. I will choose what you have to eat. And then Krishna just took the butter and fed Govardhan. He felt Govardhan is my devotee. He has come to me. Whatever his motive, you know, like we know Putana, she had a very bad motive, but Krishna accepted her as her mother. So he wanted to feed his devotee. He ate, and Govardhan said, stop. And you, what will you eat? Krishna just fed him. Finally, Govardhan said, okay, are you satisfied now? It was your idea. Can you give me the crown, please? Can I take it now? Krishna said, no. You are so groovy. Groovy means cross. Groovy. Yeah. You are so grubby. Your fingers will make an imprint on my transcendental body. I will give you the crown. Really? Here. Then Govardhan could see there was a peacock feather in the tuft of hair. It was fixed with a golden chain. Do you also want this? Govardhan was really not wanting to disturb the beauty of Krishna. Then Krishna just gave it here. And then he pointed at the pearl which is hanging here. A very nice pearl. It reflects usually the reddish inside of the nose. And when the Krishna breathes, it trembles, and at the same time there is a waves of reddish red go over it. Do you want this? No, said Govardhan. It's all right. And he thought, I do not want to disturb this beauty of Syama Sundar. But Syam said, don't be sentimental, you are a thief. And he took it at the pearl and said, this is a most valuable pearl. Mother Yashoda has said it's a Gajendra Mani. It comes from the head of the Gajendra elephant. He gave this to me in a previous existence, out of thankfulness that I saved him from the crocodile. In this way, Krishna gave everything. Finally, Govardhan didn't want to take it, and finally he came to his anchor belts. Now the anchor belts were very tightly bound by Mother Yashoda. You know why? Because Krishna has sometimes lost the anchor belts due to extensive dancing. So he was going like, and he was starting to sweat, and he said, I can't remove this. No, says it, Govardhan, it's all right, leave it. No. Krishna was working on it very hard. And finally he just took his foot and flung it into the lap of Govardhan. You are a thief, you are very strong, you just untie the knot. Govardhan was sweating and was very tight. And as he was working, his hand began to touch the soles of the lotus feet of Govinda. The same lotus feet which are aspired for by the yogis, they meditate about the lotus feet. The thief was touching this, he was touching, he was, all the impurities from his heart left him by the power of those lotus feet. And he took the thing and they said, now I have one desire. Yes, said Krishna. I want to decorate you. Oh, come on, said Krishna. No, it is my property. I have properly and legally stolen it. I have done all the... now I can. It's my. I can do everything what I want with it. So he began to decorate Lord Krishna very, very nice. And at the end, he was very... Krishna just said, now I have to go to Mother Yashoda. We had spent already a long time. He went to Yashoda, and Yashoda saw Krishna in this decoration. And he said, this is not my decoration. It is a little different. Who has done it? No, said Krishna, my great devotee has done it. Oh, said Yashoda, would you like to bring him here? No, said Krishna, you wouldn't like to see him. He's a little extraordinary devotee. So at this time, Mother Yashoda, no, said Krishna. Krishna's mood was like this. She forgot about it. Krishna came every day to give darshan to Govardhan. Then Govardhan left his body and went to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. This is a story which Prabhupada didn't tell it in such a detail, but he said in one lecture which he gave in Los Angeles that the full story can be found in the book Bhakti Granta. And it's from there. It's a book which describes lives of devotees. So Govardhan thought, why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. And then by Krishna's association, he had already become purified. Then at last Krishna said, all right, you can take. Then he became a devotee immediately because by Krishna's association. So then Prabhupada says, somehow or other, due to your eagerness, you'll see Krishna. That's the only qualification. So I want to really recommend all of you in this wonderful temple, please become eager to in your Krishna consciousness. The best way to become eager is if you have this wonderful association of devotees and follow them. I very much liked yesterday's morning program where you had a very, very nice way of associating with Srila Prabhupada. It was very nicely conceived, and I'm really thankful that you have devised such a nice way. First reading a little bit about Srila Prabhupada from the Lilamrita so that he becomes a little bit more, you think more practically about him, and then listening to a lecture by first chanting with him Jai Radha Madhava, and after the lecture discussing what he has said and what touched you personally. This is a very good method to become a devotee, to follow a devotee. Now, my last point today will be, if you wish to follow a devotee, you must really understand what is his mission. Otherwise, you will not really be able to connect with him very nicely. This is a very important point. Without understanding the mission of a person, your connection with him is superficial and will not really be a true connection. Imagine, just as an example of this world, there is, let us say, a dedicated freedom fighter who wishes to liberate his country from the foreign rule. Let us say, for instance, Gandhi was very dedicated to get the British out of India. Now, if you want to associate with a person like Gandhi, you must understand his mission and then somehow also at least appreciate it. Best is to take part in it. You know? Then you can come very close to this person. In a similar fashion, if we want to follow Prabhupada and develop this eagerness and these qualities also, we have to understand his purpose. And it is very clear, Prabhupada is here in the West, came here to the West to spread Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, I would like to recommend to all of you to take your place in whatever capacity you can in this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. I want to congratulate you very much, and this is my first time where I'm on Radha Desh, and my mind is not full with 1 million other thoughts, and I can be like participate in your communal life like one of you, at least in the morning and so on. I can see that. A very nice plan here to spread Krishna consciousness. I know that you wish to build an additional college, and there's so many people coming already. Now where the buildings increased, that means the objects which are interesting for a tourist, more will come. And if you have already a very nice program to spiritually uplift the visitors who come here. And this is all very nice. There is, although this is in the midst of the country, Radha Desh, by its just attractiveness, with its many, many different programs, education and convention and bakery, and you know much better than me about all the things here. It is becoming very nice. A tool, so to say, to spread Krishna consciousness and to help also the residents to become Krishna conscious. So please think of how you can find your place in the mission, and in this way you will be very, very much able to follow a pure devotee, and you will develop this eagerness. And by this eagerness, Krishna will become pleased. The heartbeat of a devotee must be eagerness to come close to Krishna, to please Krishna. There are three desires, actually, which a devotee has, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. To serve Krishna is the first desire of a devotee. To serve him, to attain Krishna, and finally to have a loving relationship with Krishna. These are the three natural desires of a devotee: to serve Krishna, to attain him, and to have a favorable loving relationship with him. So this eagerness will come if you follow a devotee, and this following a devotee means to really come into his mission, to understand the mission of the devotee. Then that eagerness will color in your heart, become in your heart, and then your life is so ecstatic. A heart with eagerness, an eager plan, is alive. A heart which is empty, where there is no spiritual desire, there is just, oh, I just want to survive, eat, and dress, and move about in my life. It's not so. It's something is missing. That the taste is missing. The taste of life. In our college, our devotees are schooled and trained. So the idea is that you find your place in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That would be very good, because then you are safely situated, and then you can hope to one day become Krishna conscious and reach Krishna. No, serve Krishna, reach him, attain him, and have a loving relationship ultimately. I want to thank you very much for your attention. I hope there was something for you in it. All the best, and let us take hope. If the thief could reach that, huh, then it must be like Prabhupada has promised here, that he said, Prahlad Maharaj's class friends who were born of Daitya families thought that realizing the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, Prabhupada says, we have experienced that many, many people say this very same thing. How so difficult, you say. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna. So let us see if any one of you has a question. I begin to suspect I'm already 5 minutes over time, huh? Just a short question. Everything is clear? Yes, please tell me your name again. Yes, Alakananda. No problem, I can help you. Yes.
It could be that first I want to thank you for the wonderful inspiring class. And so it was built slowly to the point that to find a place in the mission.
Yes.
Where it become.
Well, read now the translation. Mm-hmm. Is it that you are asking that to find one's own mission, there are two possibilities. One is to take a very active role, or sometimes even become, take the lead, you know, do something, become almost an authority in some sense. And another is to find a place in the mission may mean for someone to understand I'm best to work under someone. So, yeah. I think if you want to find the mission, that's my own experience at least in life, you need to be to honestly understand your strengths and also your weaknesses. You need to find out what you can do. You come to grief when you try to do something which is meant for someone else. And Krishna really has told us in the Gita that you must do, I mean, to follow another's occupation, it can be even dangerous for you. So when we hear this word, you must find your mission, we sometimes, and I also feel that sometimes I say, oh, what is expected now of me? I'm a simple person. I always was. Now should I lead a project now? What is it? No, to find your mission is to understand what Krishna explains. Sve sve dikaraste. You must understand what is your own adhika. Adhika means ability in life, and then you will be perfectly satisfied. I know that Prabhupada in his He said, of course, so many, many things about how he wished his disciples to be, but ultimately he also, there is a sense, there's a point where Prabhupada said this. He wants us to be happy in Krishna consciousness, and it doesn't mean to do something which you cannot. I personally have seen this in my own life. There are so many God brothers who do such wonderful service in pleasing Srila Prabhupada. They do very large projects. Some do wonderful book writing projects. Others do films about Prabhupada, which make the whole... And there's so many, some do festivals like anything where thousands, if not millions of people come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And obviously, as a disciple of Prabhupada, I would like to do all of this and more. Obviously, you know, we want to, but I'm a very simple person. I joined when I was 16. I'm not educated at all. I have come to understand I'm best situated if I work together with devotees who are good in management and organizing, and I take a little role in spreading Krishna consciousness. I'm somehow very enthusiastic about our philosophy. I can't say I'm a good preacher, but I like preaching. So this is what I will do. You will not find me therefore so much in management committees and so on, because I'm not so good. I have seen, I've made many mistakes, my judgment is not so right on the point and so on. And first I was a little unsatisfied when I understood that I'm not so talented as I would like to be. But later, one becomes very satisfied. Even by taking a humble role, one becomes very satisfied if that is your role in life. You just come to grief if you want to be something you are not. And you might make serious mistakes, like I think you indicated this, that maybe one becomes too, how do you say, no one can say anything any longer to such a devotee, because he thinks, I have my mission. he's not ready for any feedback or any guidance or anything. This might develop into such a situation. Yes. So to find the mission very much means also to know a little bit where you are. Good, then I think we have reached a natural end, and there's only one more question. When and where is Prasadam? Please, if you have time, come, or if you can make it, please come this evening where we will just chant together Hare Krishna. It's very nice. We have planned a little surprise for Radha Gopinath, and you need to be there with your voice. And not extremely tired that you will not fall asleep. Take sufficient rest, and then we will do. We will not chant very long. We will end at around a little after 9. So we don't know. We have to actually fix the time when we should start. It will be 7 o'clock or 7:30. I will have to speak with Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, because I have to ask a question which we have to discuss. So please watch, and please be on time. It's very important, because Nam Yajna, there is a certain element. You need to be there from the beginning if possible. You can also come any time, but it's better if you are at the beginning there. I wish you a nice and very, let me say, a very devotional day in your Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Go Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.